Cigar.
The joint session of the 63rd Wyoming Legislature General Session will please come to order. Senator Bebout, Representatives Berger and Harshman will escort the First Lady of Wyoming, Carol Meade, their children, Mary and Peter, and His Excellency the Governor Matthew H. Meade to this joint session. This body will be at ease until the sound of the gavel. Yeah, I understand. Go ahead.
How did you do that?
I don't know. Pull it up here. There you go. There. I wonder if I do the same thing with mine. There you go.
But get out.
It's the chairs that are important.
Get out of it.
That's fine. That's okay. Fine. We're fine. Yeah, we're fine. Are you ready? Do I sound? The joint session will now come to order. All rise.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, it is my pleasure to announce the following guests. The Honorable Gregory Phillips, United States Court of Appeals Judge for the 10th Circuit, escorted by Senator Ross and Representatives Cohn and Connolly. The Honorable Scott Skovdahl, United States District Judge for the District of Wyoming, escorted by Senator Perkins and Representatives Stubson and McKim. The Honorable Kelly Rankin, United States District Chief Magistrate Judge for the District of Wyoming, escorted by Senator Landon and Representatives Petroff and Baker. The Honorable William Hill, Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court, escorted by Senator Bernard and Representatives Harvey and Wilson. The Honorable Marilyn Kite, Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court, escorted by Senator Cooper and Representatives Greer and Kasparik. The Honorable Michael Davis, Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court, escorted by Senator Hicks and Representatives Barlow and Byrd. The Honorable Kate Fox, Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court, escorted by Senator Meyer and Representatives Throne and Baldwin. The Honorable Jillian Balow, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, escorted by Senator Wasserberger and Representatives Patton and Paxton. The Honorable Mark Gordon, State Treasurer, escorted by Senator Pappas and Representatives Madden and Northrup. The Honorable Cynthia Cloud, State Auditor, escorted by Senator Kraft and Representatives Dave Swanitzer and Lautz. The Honorable Ed Murray, Secretary of State, escorted by Senator Dockstader and Representatives Dan Swanitzer and Kirk Bride. The Honorable E. James Burke, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Wyoming, escorted by Senator Kinski and Representatives Miller and Croker. The First Lady of Wyoming, Carol Meade, and His Excellency, the Governor of the State of Wyoming, Matthew H. Meade, escorted by Senator Bebout and Representatives Berger and Harshman.
I'd like to invite Father Conkleton to give the implication. If you'd please stand through the implication.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we gather today in this chamber from the four corners of this great state at the beginning of this general session to hear the state of the state and the state of the judiciary. There is much to do in this session for the people of this great state, and just 8 short weeks in which to act. In this brief amount of time, we need your help in accomplishing all that needs to be done. We ask, therefore, that you put forth your divine assistance upon our governor, the secretary of state, the auditor, the treasurer, the superintendent of public instruction, the members of the judiciary, the members of the House and Senate, and all their support staff. King Solomon, when he began his rule, prayed not for power, nor for wealth, nor for a long life and health, but rather he prayed for the wisdom to govern and act wisely. Grant our leaders the spirit of Solomon. Give unto them that same gift of wisdom to govern and act wisely, particularly when they face difficult decisions that will be presented in this session. Help them to work for the common good of the people of this great state of Wyoming, and let them have a special concern for the poor and the most disadvantaged in our land. We ask this in all things in your holy name. Amen.
Members of the 63rd Legislature, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker and I present His Excellency, the Governor of the State of Wyoming, Matthew H. Matt Meade.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for the warm welcome. I don't know if it'll get any better than that. Thank you very much. It's very kind. Mr. President, Mr. Speakers, members of the 63rd Wyoming Legislature, Secretary Murray, Auditor Cloud, Treasurer Gordon, Superintendent Balow, Federal Circuit Judge Phillips, Chief Justice Burke, all members of the judiciary, all military and veterans, fellow citizens, good morning. Thank you all for being here. And thank you for those who are participating via the internet or other media. We welcome all of you. And we're pleased that technology has many benefits, including the freedom to be wherever you want to be in Wyoming or anywhere else to take part in these proceedings. I want to say good morning to my family. For those of you that have been here for 4 years, you've seen some growth in the kids. I mentioned that the inauguration that one place on the governor's residence wall, which we'll make sure we get painted before we leave, we have marked the height of our children over the years, and it's remarkable. And we think they have grown not only in height, but in other ways, and in many ways they have grown up with this body. You all have seen them grow up. But it causes us all to reflect upon one of the main reasons we're here, for our kids and our grandkids. And I can't imagine being here without the love and the support of Carol and Mary and Pete. I thank all of you for helping me get here and helping me do this job. I think it was my first State of the State. Before I gave it, Pete wrote me a note, and his handwriting, you have to decipher it a little bit that back then, but he said, good luck, Dad. You'll do great. He signed it, not Pete, but best son ever. I'm lucky to have the confidence of my family and a confident family. These are exciting times. It's a new year, a new legislature. We have some new faces in the legislature, in leadership, and in our statewide offices. And I look forward to working with all of you. As I've told this body in the past, we are so fortunate in Wyoming to have a citizen legislature. Every one of you here have made sacrifice to be here. You leave your homes, your family, your work. And before we start this session, I just want to say to the President, to the Speaker, to all of you, how much I appreciate and how much it means to the entire state to have your service, and I thank you for that. I'm excited about the state and where we are. As I've done in the past, I have asked some citizens of Wyoming to be here with me today so that I can recognize them. Because we recognize that as the state is strong, it's because individual citizens do so much and have committed so much to our state. And so first, I want to start with Max Maxfield. Max served 2 terms as state auditor, followed by 2 terms as secretary of state. Last year, as you know, he decided to retire from state service. Max served Wyoming with energy, optimism, intelligence, honesty, and civility. Max and Gayla, we are sad to say farewell, but we wish you all the best. You both have served Wyoming, making a better place for us all. You are friends. You are dear friends. And I ask all of us to join me in recognizing Max and Gayla and their service. Max, will you please stand up? We are fortunate to have with us, as we've had in years past, members and representatives of the Shoshone and Arapaho tribes. And I got to meet with them before I came up here today, and they were gracious in letting me know that they had time on their hands, and they were they offered to write my speech for me, and which I thought was a wonderful thing. That message wasn't passed on through staff, otherwise I would have taken them up on that. But There's no questions. We have challenging issues to deal with, which is sometimes the case with sovereigns. But no matter what, we do remain friends and neighbors with a common interest, that being a great affection for this beautiful place, Wyoming, we all call home. If the tribal members would please stand, we are always enjoy the opportunity to welcome you. Thank you for being here. One of the great privileges I've had in my role as governor is to get to work with the men and women of our Guard. And I do wish on occasion that I could articulate what my eyes have seen of the work the men and women of the Guard do. It's absolutely amazing. And when I see them off as they're being deployed overseas, know this, that these men and women, often it's very early in the morning, they are hugging their spouse goodbye. The grandparents are hugging them goodbye. And sometimes you'll see a young mother or a young dad kissing a young infant goodbye. It's a remarkable thing because each one of them stand, raise their hand, and agree with everything it takes, including their life, to serve and defend this country. We have about 2,800 members in the Guard. The men and women of the Guard are ready for duty here at home and when duty calls them to a distant land. The Guard fights fires and much more, including fighting the war on terror. Wyoming soldiers have been busy. They've been in the thick of it, deployed overseas, serving bravely, missing home and family as we miss them and anticipate their return. Service and sacrifice. Service and sacrifice, whether for a single tour or over the course of a long military career, are no small things to give. They are huge, and we are deeply grateful. General Luke Reiner, Wyoming's Adjutant General, is here. And I would say, General, we appreciate what our Guard, what all our military members, what our vets have given for Wyoming and for America. General, we want you to stand so we may recognize you and the Guard. Today, this morning, I think it's appropriate we remember John Schiffer. John served as a Wyoming senator for over 20 years, from 1993 until his death last June. In his long public service career, John served in numerous leadership positions, including Senate President. He was an advocate for the Natural Resource and Wildlife Trust, and among other things, was a supporter of education and mental health programs. He brought great intellect and a rancher's common sense to the legislature, and he had those big, big, strong hands that were representative of his big heart and care for Wyoming. He made a positive difference for each of us. He made a positive difference for all of Wyoming. And I ask you now to join me for a moment of silence in John's memory. I'm thinking today also of to all those in the cold and the dark who battled the blaze in Dubois on December 30th. We thank you. The fire was a tragedy. We are thankful there were no deaths or injuries. The town will rebuild as unique and wonderful as ever. I have no doubt. To the people of Dubois, please know you also are in our thoughts and our prayers. Now, I've broken my speech into two parts, two big parts. I want to first talk about the last 4 years and then talk about where we should go from here. The last 4 years, we did what we said we were going to do, and we've gotten results, and it's the way government should operate. We build upon the success of prior governors and prior legislators, and together we have made great strides for Wyoming. When I took office in January 2011, Wyoming's unemployment rate was about 6.5%. The state budget had doubled the previous decade, and the state was coming off a period of government expansion. High-speed broadband was limited. Only two cities had Ethernet at their schools. There was no state energy strategy. There was no water strategy. And in my mind, there was a growing need to push back against federal overreach. To set a new course, there was no time to waste. 9 days into office, in my first State of the State address, I announced my vision for Wyoming. I said we would be focusing on the economy, focusing on broadband, infrastructure, assisting local government, consolidating state government, education, and federal actions that were adverse to our state. As part of our focus on the economy, we would continue to support our big three industries, energy, tourism, and ag, and that we would also seek to diversify our economic base. This was a tall order, but this is Wyoming, and we do not shy away from big tasks. So we took this on, all of it, and 4 years later, we see the difference. Starting with the economy, we made a real push for jobs, economic growth, diversification, and supporting our big three. Here's some of the highlights. We've been able to welcome new enterprises, for example, NCAR, Microsoft, Searing Industries, Magpul, Hi-Viz, and oil-to-rail facilities. We've been developing and beginning to implement our state energy strategy, and last session you provided funding to continue with initiatives in the energy strategy. I have, and some of you have gone to trade missions to places such as Hong Kong, Canada, South Korea, and Taiwan to promote trade and tourism. We've been funding predator control and brucellosis management and helping provide relief for drought and flooding. We've provided strategic incentives and recruiting hard for data centers. Our efforts are paying off. Microsoft recently opened an innovative biogas-powered data center. The company is also investing $274 million in data center expansion, bringing its investment in Wyoming to nearly $500 million. In December, Wyoming was recognized as a leader in the country for data center recruiting. This is the third year in a row Wyoming has received that recognition. We've built our tourism and established markets and established new ones as well. We love telling people about all that Wyoming has to offer, and we love to show it to them. 2 years ago, we added a new sporting event in Wyoming, the Cowboy Tough Adventure Race, to annual summer activities. And for those of you that haven't seen that, it's got to be the toughest race in the world as far as I'm concerned. It is truly cowboy tough. On July 10th, 2015, Wyoming will mark the 125th anniversary of statehood. This will be another special occasion for all of us to enjoy and to invite visitors from near and far. Our focus on the economy has paid off. We see the success and we see national recognition of our success. Wyoming has received a number of accolades recently, including the highest possible rating from Standard & Poor's for the last 4 years. We have the number one ranking for 2015 as the state with the best tax climate for businesses. We have been ranked as having the best return on investment for taxpayers in 2014. We have the lowest state, lowest tax, local tax burden. We have the lowest foreclosure rate in the nation. We've been ranked as the second most pro-business state in the country. We are third best in economic performance. And in 2014, more Wyoming people were employed than ever before in the history of our state. These rankings are important not for boasting rights, but they show the progress that we have made in 4 years. The economy was a priority 4 years ago, and we've made great strides. Broadband was a priority, and we've made great strides. This brings opportunities. Broadband brings opportunities for schools, businesses, and individuals, and for development of a tech center. I mentioned that when I started, only two school districts had Ethernet speed. Now everyone, every school district, all 48, have Ethernet speed. We've increased high-speed connections to our schools by over 1,900%. We've held summits to move broadband forward in 2012, 13, and 14, and will continue to do so. And last year, as you all know, I asked for funding for the Unified Network. This network, I'm pleased to report, as of today, is fully built. We got it done in less than a year. This network brings even higher standard of broadband to our state,
more fiber optic connections, and gigabit speeds. The state has been a facilitator, helping on rights of ways, providing the infrastructure upgrades for our schools and government, and they will be also available to the private sector. We all, you, prepared the ground, but the private sector is now delivering the goods. Ron McHugh is president of Silver Star Communications. Last November, Silver Star launched an initiative to offer gigabit-level broadband to communities in western Wyoming. Efforts like this make Wyoming more competitive for tech businesses, for people who want to run global businesses from a home base in Wyoming, for everyone who uses a computer. Gigabit-level broadband gives Wyoming the type of access usually associated with large cities. Such access makes Wyoming a leader in broadband and a player in tech. We have not been called these things in the past, but we are now. We should be proud of this effort to diversify our economy. Ron, we recognize what business leaders like you are doing to make Wyoming a leader in broadband and a player in tech. Ron, please stand so we can recognize your efforts. So I've talked about the economy and I've talked about broadband. Another priority 4 years ago was infrastructure. We know that for our communities to thrive, for quality of life, for economic growth, and for commerce generally, infrastructure is essential. We've been paying attention to Wyoming's infrastructure, not county school construction. Here are a few examples. We provided funding for the Gillette Madison Water Project and recognized future funding needed for completion. We passed a 10-cent per gallon gas tax increase that produces $47 million for the state for road maintenance. We funded a new UW College of Engineering, $95 million and $15 million match for construction. We've provided initial funding for five state facilities that need renovation, including the state hospital, the Life Resource Center, the Veterans Home. You set aside $35.7 million to start and $20 million more from the for fiscal year 2015. We have provided funding for municipal landfills. We've supported the Business Council loan and grant programs for community development. We have and should continue to invest, and we should continue to save. And the fact is, we have seen record savings, and we can be proud of that. But we have opportunities again, not down the road, but this session, to invest in more infrastructure. We do this because we know that Wyoming, the Wyoming we enjoy today, was built by those with vision and with courage. Our forebears did not view the role of government as a bank. They were not hoarders, but builders. As we judge their work, we will also be judged on what we build for future generations. What opportunities have we provided for our children and our grandchildren? Have we made Wyoming a better place? Another priority 4 years ago and still is assisting local government. Work gets done and lives are lived in our cities and towns and our counties. We know how great it is to live here and we want our communities to keep doing better, for residents to attract more businesses and visitors. We have additional funding. We have provided additional funding to local government each of these last 4 years. And during my time in office, more than once, I have suggested a longer-term solution for funding local government. That included looking at a portion of the statutory 1% diversion. Added funding always matters. But when it comes a year at a time in differing amounts, or perhaps not at all, this tends to hamper local planning and development efforts. There's no question we have done well by local governments these past 4 years. But we still need to decide on longer-term funding for local government that they can count on. And this is the time, now is the time, to work towards a solution. One of the other areas that we have stressed these last 4 years is consolidating government, and we have done so. For example, we have addressed backlogs and delays. We got all state employees on the same email system. We've merged two agencies. We've developed a meaningful employee evaluation system. We have consolidated IT services. We've reduced the standard budget by over 6%, reducing ongoing spending by over $60 million a year. We began a rules initiative for state agencies and have significantly reduced rules. Some have reduced by almost 50%. And we have amended state law to allow further reductions to provide an updated database, which will give everyone better access to rules. We have fewer employees now than we did 4 years ago. State government has become more effective, more efficient. We are doing more with less. Also a priority 4 years ago and now is education. As a state, we make sizable investment in education through block grants and school construction funding. In turn, such an investment should yield the best education possible for our kids. We started work on education accountability in 2011, and it continues. I note this session you'll consider a bill to improve the state assessment system. We have, over the last 4 years, increased awards under the Hathaway Scholarship Program. We broke ground for the NZ STEM facility at UW. We provided funding for UW science programs and facilities, and more is in my budget this year. I ask for your support on that proposal. We joined Complete College America, CCA. We know the demands for our students to have a post-secondary education is rising. CCA is another tool to help Wyoming students get the education, including, importantly, career technical education they need to succeed. We now have STEM summits in Wyoming. And last April, I attended the rollout of a STEM initiative for Sublette County School District 1. The fact is, STEM education is important at every level, and I look forward to more events like this. All this work on education is lost without great teachers. Teachers like Tyler Bartlett. Tyler is the 2015 Wyoming Teacher of the Year. He's a math teacher at Newcastle Middle School. He's in his sixth year of teaching and loves his job. When he received his award, he said, there's a lot that goes into being a successful teacher. Sometimes we focus too much on teaching and not enough on learning. I think the real bottom line is that students have to be learning. Wise words, and Tyler puts them to work in his classroom, getting students engaged in their own learning. Tyler teaches a STEM subject and is representative of the excellent teachers that we have in Wyoming. Tyler, please stand so we may recognize you. Congratulations, Tyler. We will keep working on education at every level. Early childhood education, K-12, our community colleges, and UW to get things right. For the future of our state, we have to get education right. Another priority 4 years ago and now is federal actions that adversely affect our state. And I will say, Wyoming has been very aggressive these past 4 years in opposing federal actions that affect our state. Sometimes we prevail. The fact is, sometimes we don't. But we know we cannot look the other way because the impacts are too great. We must continue together to stand against federal overreach. One of my first acts in office, in fact, was to ask the Wyoming Attorney General to join the constitutional challenge to the ACA. This is an important lawsuit, and Wyoming had to be part of it. Many of us, including myself, did not like the result, but Wyoming did need to be involved. We've also been very active in filing or joining actions to support grazing rights. We in Wyoming know how valuable ag is, not just to our state, but in fact this country. It is one thing as a country to not be able to fuel yourselves. It's another thing entirely to not be able to feed yourselves. We have to continue to have strong support for ag. In December, we filed a case in Wyoming Federal District Court to require BLM to better manage wild horses. We continue to fight for Wyoming's regional haze plan, and it's a good plan for addressing visibility. Last fall, the Tenth Circuit upheld the state's plan regarding sulfur dioxide. And recently, we filed our brief in the Tenth Circuit in support of the state's plan as it relates to nitrogen oxides. We have, as many of you know, most frequently done battle with the EPA. The reason is, simply, EPA rulemaking under President Obama's administration has been troubling at best. Wyoming is opposing power plant rules, the proposed rules for Waters of the U.S., as well as many other EPA actions, and will continue to do so. Wyoming's fight against federal regulatory overreach will not stop. Along with the Attorney General, along with the support of this body, we must all continue fighting for Wyoming. Looking back at the past 4 years, there are some other matters I'll mention. We've reduced the DD waiting list. We've undertaken job initiatives, including those for those with disabilities. We will continue our work in this area with the employment first concept. At my direction, DFS has appointed a statewide homeless coordinator and will create a 10-year plan to address homelessness. We've renewed our focus on suicide prevention with a statewide initiative. Regarding worker safety, I support and I appreciate the safety alliances formed by the oil, gas, transportation, refinery, and construction industries. At the state level, we've added new OSHA safety positions. We've created a $500,000 fund to provide matching grants to companies for safety equipment and training. We created a program to reduce workers' compensation premiums for those willing to participate in health and safety consultations. In addition, Workforce Services has developed annual reporting for better analysis of on-the-job accidents. In 2013, we had a better year. We saw improved statistics, fewer fatalities and hospitalizations. This was encouraging. We haven't got the numbers on 2014, but we have reason to believe at this point that 2013 is going to be a better year than 2014. We need to continue to look on how we do better as a state, to emphasize workplace safety and improve job safety. I know, as you all do, employers care. We all do, about getting workers home safely at the end of the workday. We have been headed in the right direction, but there's more progress to be made, and we have to keep at it. We will. For example, one of my funding requests is for passing lanes, and that is safety related. Finally, in this look back, I'm very proud we have passed a law for our veterans. In 2011, we created the Wyoming Veterans Welcome Home Day. Thanks to this law, at the end of March every year, we hold ceremonies in communities around the state. This day is especially for vets like our Korean vets, our Vietnam and Gulf War vets, who perhaps did not receive a proper homecoming after their military service ended. And as I go to each one of these events at the end of March, it's a remarkable thing what you all have done on that Welcome Home Day. Because as you see these vets and you greet them after you say a few words, it's astounding because you have Vietnam vets, for example, who will greet you sometimes just with a nod or a handshake, sometimes with a hug, oftentimes with tears in their eyes, saying, "It's all I ever wanted is to somebody say, welcome home and thank you for your service." Certainly. Certainly that is the least we owe our vets. So I congratulate this body on that wonderful concept. It has been tremendous. And today we have a vet with us who knows what it's like not to get what you should when you return home. Arturo Art Archuleta served as an Army infantryman in the Korean War. In 1951, Art was wounded in action and earned a Purple Heart. A few years ago, it came to light the medal was never awarded. Last November, 63 years after the fact, the situation was put right. Art received his Purple Heart at a ceremony in Cheyenne. It's never too late to put things right. Veterans initiatives like the Welcome Home Day, special license plates, recognition of service for professional licensing, and in-state tuition convey our respect and gratitude. Art, we thank you and all our vets for serving and making sacrifices for our country. Art, please stand so we can recognize you. To sum up, Wyoming has come far these past 4 years. Compared to unemployment at about 6.5% in January 2011, we have unemployment at 4.5% in November 2014, significantly lower than the U.S. unemployment rate. Compared to ballooning costs of state operations the past decade, our state budget is staying relatively flat. We've improved state government, enhanced technology and infrastructure, given extra support to local government, developed an energy strategy, grown and diversified the economy, and tackled other tough issues. So today, I'm pleased to report to all of you with full confidence the state of the state is strong and getting stronger. This is because of the work you've done. For example, creating a great climate for business. This is because of Wyoming's natural advantages, including abundant mineral and energy resources. Above all, this is because of Wyoming people, our greatest strength. We should not take our eye off the ball now or our foot off the gas. We have built a solid foundation for our future. We will move ahead by building on the solid foundation laid, not by standing still. We've been sowing the seeds and harvesting the crops. If we continue to plant and steward well, we will leave greener pastures and even a better legacy. We have the fiscal resources, the people resources, the natural resources, and the civic leadership to make a difference for generations to come. We look at the next 4 years, I look at the next 4 years with great optimism. In my second term, I'll continue to focus on the areas I've talked about today. They've been important from day one, they remain important, and there's more we can do on each. To add to these initiatives, I would add coal initiatives, advancing our energy strategy, increasing international trade, forest health, Medicaid expansion, and implementing our water strategy. Again, I ask that we take on a great deal, but again, I say Wyoming is always up to the challenge. Regarding coal, coal is critical to Wyoming, and we must assure its future. Beyond that, coal is critical to this country's future. And in my lifetime, I have never seen an onslaught against a single industry, a single commodity, like the Obama administration's anti-coal agenda. The EPA has had a green light to go after the coal industries, and 6 years later, coal is still targeted by federal regulators. The coal industry provides about 40% of electricity for this country. It keeps us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. It keeps the lights on and the factories humming. It is, in fact, the fastest growing energy source in the world. Here in Wyoming, the industry provides revenue for schools and infrastructure and thousands of direct and indirect jobs for Wyoming workers. In the coming years, I will continue to work with bulldog determination on coal initiatives, port expansion, new technology and value-added products. In the coming years, we don't need to let up, we need to double down. We must assure coal's continuity. There are legitimate opportunities, such as the Integrated Test Center project, and we must seize them. We fight for coal, and we will fight for oil, and we'll fight for gas, and trona, and uranium, and other resources if they are targeted by oppressive federal regulations. And part of that is advancing the energy strategy. Last session, you funded continued work on initiatives identified in the energy strategy. Our task is to go further to advance the strategy issued 2 years ago this May by continuing the work on initiatives and identifying new initiatives. I mentioned international trade. Here's an interesting statistic. From 2010 to 2013, international trade grew from $983 million to $1.35 billion, a growth of 36%. We want to see that growth continue, and you have added $350,000 in the biennial budget to develop international trade, funding I fully support. My office, and you all can use this funding productively to continue the progress that we've made. Our forests, as you know, have been a challenge with beetle kill. And forests are a great resource. They provide homes for wildlife, lumber for industry, and places for recreation. We want our forests to be as healthy as possible, and so many have been devastated by beetle kill. I put together a task force to look at the condition of our forests and make recommendations. I support these recommendations and have included funding in my budget proposal. Last session, the legislature asked the Department of Health to find the best deal possible for Wyoming under the ACA. We have seen over the last 4 years much more flexibility from HHS than CMS. Our Department of Health was able to craft what we believe is the best plan for Wyoming. Some in the legislature are looking at an alternative plan, and I appreciate their work. Regarding the ACA, you as I may not like it, but it is upon us. We challenged it, but it is upon us. 2 years ago, not last year, 2 years ago, as I said in my State of the State, let us try within the law that is upon us to find the best deal, the best fit for Wyoming under the ACA. I feel the same today. And here's some facts regarding the ACA. Fact is, small and large hospitals are anchors in our Wyoming communities. Fact is, businesses make clear to me they cannot recruit new people in an area without reasonable health care. Beyond that, they can't keep people in an area without reasonable health care. And if small hospitals close, our rural towns will suffer tremendous loss and opportunity for the future. Fact is, we have working men and women of Wyoming who cannot afford health care. This is true now as it was when both I and the legislature supported Healthy Frontiers in an attempt to address the issue. The fact is, the Wyoming Hospital Association reports $200 million in uncompensated care. The number in terms of their actual costs, they believe, is around $100 million. The fact is, economic analysis shows that Medicaid expansion would create about 800 jobs in Wyoming. The fact is, many of us don't like the ACA, including me. But here's another fact. Our federal tax dollars pay for the ACA. Wyoming federal tax dollars help pay for the ACA. Do we choose to have that support, that Wyoming money, return to Colorado, to California, or to Wyoming? I say Wyoming. My plan or yours, or something better. We have fought the fight against the ACA. We've done our best to find the fit for Wyoming. We're out of timeouts, and we need to address Medicaid expansion this session. Water strategy. Wyoming is subject to 7 water compacts and 2 Supreme Court decrees. Water we're not committed to providing others under these compacts and decrees belongs to us. It is Wyoming's water, and Wyoming water is key to our future. All of us need water, municipalities, industries, ag, and individuals. It is our most important natural resource. Water, more than anything, is tied to everything we do in this state. It's tied to everything we have done, and it's going to be tied to everything we do in the future. Yet Wyoming has not had a water strategy. Developing a water strategy was one of the initiatives identified in the energy strategy. Over the last year or so, with wide public input, we've put together a very good strategy. It's going to be issued tomorrow and available online and in hard copy. The strategy includes a 10-in-10 proposal, 10 small reservoir projects in 10 years, and 9 other initiatives, including a proposal for Fontanelle. The time to protect our water is now, and as a state, we cannot afford to delay. The supplemental budget gets us started on that. I request a transfer of about $18.6 million for the Water Development Account 2. I hope you'll approve this request and the rest of my budget proposal. I also hope you'll consider supporting the water strategy in future budgets as you have supported the energy strategy. The budget in general. This is a general session, so I have before you a modest $156 million budget proposal. It is a conservative supplement to the biennial budget. I believe it positions Wyoming well for the years ahead. It strengthens UW and our community college system. It makes investments in strategic areas. The fact is, the state has these funds. There are well over $100 million in reversions. money unused by agencies, which together with SIPA dollars fully funds my proposal. With your recognition of the reversions, all funding is available. My proposal keeps government operating costs relatively flat. State agencies have worked hard to keep budgets trimmed, only $17 million, less than 0.5% of the standard general budget is increased by my budget, is for operating and ongoing expenditures. Now, I do make some funding requests that do not add to the future budgets. They are one-time proposals. These include $25 million for local government, $6.4 million for the Municipal Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Program, $21.2 million for passing lanes on Highway 59 between Douglas and Gillette and between Casper and Shoshone, funding for the High Altitude Sports Performance Training Center, Unconventional Oil and Gas Reservoirs Research, the Entrepreneurship Initiative, Science Initiative, Literacy Program, and Athletic Competitiveness, all at UW and subject to private matching funds. Here's the deal. We have 1 4-year land-grant university. In those areas that are important to Wyoming, such as ag, science, engineering, we do not need to accept playing second fiddle to anyone. Private citizens are recognizing this. Private citizens of Wyoming have been giving many millions of dollars out of their own pockets to UW. And as with engineering, the science initiative has the ability to be transformational, making UW a leader, making Wyoming a leader. We want important academic programs at UW to be top tier. And the same is true with athletics. I care about us competing. I care about us winning. It not only brings pride to our state. For example, UW basketball is in the top 25, as you may know. And this helps recruit students, increases alumni dollars, and builds a university. The funding I'm asking for UW will serve notice loud and clear. The brown and gold is not fading. It will be brighter. We will be leaders in business, education, science, athletics, and many other areas. Now, some of my funding requests may reoccur, but they would have to be asked for and approved again. For example, a new initiative I'm introducing today is called Wyoming Grown. And here's the situation. For decades, Wyoming has had challenges keeping our kids in Wyoming after they graduate. Research shows that of all 18-year-olds working in Wyoming on any given year, only an estimated 40% are still working in Wyoming 10 years later. We're losing 60% of our greatest talent. Wyoming Grown will seek to recruit Wyoming computer programmers, doctors, welders, engineers, and others who have left the state but can continue to build their careers and raise their families here. Workforce Services will use its network of employment specialists to connect job seekers with job opportunities. As part of the initiative, the Tourism Office is developing a webpage to highlight the wonderful qualities of our communities have to offer. The initiative is not costly. I've asked for $10,000. But it is critical for continuing to strengthen our workforce. Businesses recruiting people to Wyoming know that if a Wyoming kid will come back, it's a great fit because they are coming home. Let's open the door to get our kids home. Another initiative in my budget proposal is for job training and placement. We see what the private sector can do to help people become self-reliant. We have with us today Ray Fleming Deneen. She has a UW business degree and a doctorate in psychology from UNC. In 1986, Ray saw that single mothers needed help reaching independence. With her mother, Pat, she founded Climb Wyoming, a nonprofit organization which provides single mothers the resources needed to succeed on their own. The program benefits mothers, children, communities, and the state. It started in Cheyenne and branched out to other communities. Ray remains executive director. More than 1,600 mothers with nearly 2,600 children have been served by Climb Wyoming. My request for job training and placement is $1 million and is subject to private matching funds. It's intended to allow innovative programs like Climb Wyoming to reach more people. Ray, it's been remarkable all that you have done,
Please stand so we can recognize your efforts. While the supplemental budget gets us started, there are other items in my budget that keep building Wyoming. These items are a list of forward-looking initiatives. And here we have to recognize some hard facts. With oil dropping, the revenue estimates will be going down. And it should be a concern for all of us. But the fact is, it's not something new to Wyoming. We've experienced this in the past. Some of you have experienced it in this past while in the legislature. But we are in a better position now than we've been in the past. We have positioned ourselves. And with less government, more efficient government, we will work through this. We will be able to continue to build Wyoming. Fact is, in Wyoming, we have never spent revenue we don't have in hand. We're not like D.C., and we never will be. We recognize the drop in oil prices. For each $5 drop, the state loses about $35 million in revenue a year. But we know, safely, we have $220 to $240 million for the next fiscal year. This counts reversions and SIPA, which I already mentioned, and investment earnings as of December 10th, 2014, which will be realized on June 30th, 2015. This does not come out of savings. It fully funds my supplemental budget, as I've said, and it leaves money left over for the list. I'll single out a few. As I said in my budget message, we need to fund the Gillette Madison and the capital renovation projects. I don't view either of those projects as optional. In addition, we need to look at industrial parks like the Heartland Project in Canada, which would allow companies to cluster, benefit from each other, develop technologies, and produce innovative products from our natural resources. They're vital to our economy, especially to energy, manufacturing, and tech businesses. They'll benefit from the synergies such parks will provide. These parks need infrastructure to get off the ground. The startup costs for a reserve account would be small, a small down payment for big future gains. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the Wildlife Trust. Fully funding the Wildlife Trust would be a one-time expense, or rather, a transfer to a different savings account. Once fully funded, the trust will carry itself and not be in any future budget. Full funding would show that in Wyoming, we do not just talk about balancing conservation and development, we actually do it. With us today is the Bousman family. They've been ranching in Boulder, Wyoming for over a century. The ranch has several thousand acres of private land and also uses federal grazing allotments. Brad Bousman was the first to sign a Canada conservation agreement with assurances for sage grouse and the first to ask about a similar agreement called a CCA, Canada Conservation Agreement, used for federal lands. We congratulate him for these firsts. Brad and his family represent the commitment of private landowners to take voluntary actions. Brad, we thank you for your commitment to conservation, and please stand. Like the conservation efforts of private landowners, the Wildlife Trust is a powerful force. It benefits ag, tourism, energy, wildlife, and recreation. It preserves our rich heritage. We can secure the trust in perpetuity by fully funding the corpus. In addition to addressing items on the list, we must also address our state's fiscal policy. Wyoming has billions of dollars in various savings accounts. The rainy day fund alone during my time in office, which is a liquid account, has almost doubled. It has $2 billion in it. And the permanent mineral trust fund has grown by 55% in my time in office. Last year, $1 billion flowed into liquid and permanent savings accounts. The Craig estimates, as we now know, do not tell the whole story.
and the CRAIG does not provide a fiscal policy. There are questions to be asked and there's questions to be answered. For example, how much should we have in savings? What is the purpose of the rainy day account? Can we count earned investment income for planning purposes? In answering these questions, we need to recognize the stock markets can go up and down, but infrastructure has inherent value. We need a sensible fiscal policy going forward so we can continue to save and also continue to invest in the future. We need transparency. We need predictability. We need clarity. Only then, in good times and in lean, can we provide the best future for Wyoming. These discussions have already begun with leadership. They've got some great ideas. We must continue this conversation with the entire legislature. As we go about our work, we continue in every way to be inspired by people around us, and I want to recognize a few of them today. Wyoming's 11,000 family farms and ranches give our state its special look and its special feel. Open spaces, beautiful views, historic buildings, growing crops, grazing livestock, we have these things and more thanks to Wyoming Ag. The working hands on our ag lands make these operations tick and keep rodeo our state sport. Russell Pinky Walter is from Lingle. He started in rodeo as a bull rider and served as a pickup man for bareback riders. Today he manages a ranch north of Fort Laramie. He still steer ropes. Pinky has spent his entire life on horseback. The people we met on the rodeo circuit and while ranching got Walter thinking about a Wyoming Cowboy Hall of Fame. He and others interested in the idea carried it through. A Hall of Fame board, and Pinky as vice chairman, established high standards. To qualify for induction, a person has to be more than 45 years old and have spent the majority of their life working on horseback on Wyoming ranches. The first induction ceremony was last fall. Pinky, we recognize you, all Wyoming cowboys and cowgirls, and the initial inductees in the Wyoming Cowboy Hall of Fame. Pinky, you help keep Wyoming forever west. Thank you, Pinky. Pinky, as an aside, I used to rodeo in high school, and there's no chance I'll ever be in that Cowboy Hall of Fame. We think always about the importance of education in our state and what it means for our kids and for our future. Walt Nolte represents our education system beyond K-12. He's been president of Casper College for the past 10 years. With leaders like Walt, our university and community college system is getting stronger and stronger. UW and our seven great community colleges, and they are great, are on the same page. They want to provide the best post-high school education possible in our state, including what I believe is so important, career and technical education. They're focused on student success. It's a team effort, not competition among entities. Walt will retire in June, and he leaves behind some impressive achievements, for example, the largest enrollment in college history, a dozen new programs, and five new buildings. Walt, I thank you. We all thank you for your work. You'll be missed. Please stand so we can recognize you today. Our predecessors made decisions that put Wyoming in an enviable position, and it is our job to preserve and improve upon it. We are a leader in energy, the environment, and many other areas. We're happy to take on these responsibilities that go with leadership now and the future. Since I took office, the constant in all my messages, besides Wyoming's strength, has been putting Wyoming first. believing in our people, local government, our small businesses, to invest in our state and its future. My faith in Wyoming is as strong as ever. We are small in number, but our citizens have kept the attributes that have made our state great. Independence, entrepreneurial spirit, optimism, humor, and grit. We have these. Our folks have these. Their kids, their grandkids. We must keep them in mind when we invest in the future of Wyoming. We have them in mind with all the decisions we make. So as we go forward, with courage, with respect, with civility, with motivation, not for ourselves, but for Wyoming, we make the future bright. May God grant us the wisdom. May God bless our state, our country, and all who live in our wonderful land. May God bless you. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the members of the legislature, we thank you for attending the joint session and for your message. And we know what a sacrifice it is for your family, and we appreciate your family sharing you with the state, and thank you for everything you do. Members of the 63rd Legislature, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I now present the Honorable E. James Jim Burke, Chief Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Governor and Mrs. Mead, members of the 63rd Wyoming Legislature, elected officials, members of the judiciary, guests and citizens of the state of Wyoming. It is an honor to speak to you today on behalf of the dedicated men and women who serve in the judicial branch of our state's government. I want to offer congratulations to the newly elected or re-elected members of the legislature and our five elected state officials. We also offer congratulations to President Nicholas and Speaker Brown upon their well-deserved elevation to the leadership positions, and thank them for their invitation to address you. But at this point, I need to depart from my prepared remarks to resolve some controversy that apparently exists, at least among some in the Senate, involving the oath of office for elected officials. As you may know, there was at the inauguration, it's the duty of the Chief Justice to swear in the newly elected state officials. And we did that. And then a couple nights ago, I ran into Senator Ross, Senator Von Flatern, at dinner. And they're apparently enjoying the calm before the storm, relaxing. I stopped to wish them well. Senator Ross offered me some advice with regards to the State of the Judiciary speech, which I will not get into at this point in time. And then as we were leaving, he said, next time you give an oath, at least act like you know their names. I said, what are you talking about? He said, at the inauguration, you didn't say their names. You said, I state your name. And then they stated your name. And they stated their name. He says, you're supposed to say their name. And I said, oh, I'm not sure about that. And we talked about it a little bit back and forth. And it wasn't like I just went into that cold. We have some expertise on the Wyoming Supreme Court. Chief Justice Kite, Justice Hill, they have been, previous Chief Justice, have administered thousands of oaths. And I spoke with Chief Justice Kite about, what do you do with the state elected officials? Do you say their name, or do you ask them to state their name? She says, that's a great, great question. A great question. She says, because you're not quite sure. It's like, do they want their full name? Do they want their middle initial? What if they have a middle initial or middle name they don't like and they don't want to hear it? Leave it to them. It's a matter of mutual respect, the respect for them. Have some confidence in your public officials. So her go-to position was to let them state their own name. And that's what we did. And the all of the elected officials, they came through in the clutch. I saw a brief moment of hesitancy in the governor's eyes. And then he went with Matt. But I said, and to win the argument as I was leaving, Senator Ross said, but Justice Kite said my name when she gave me the oath of office for the presidency, president of the Senate. And so I said to Justice Kite, I said, but you said Senator Ross's name. What about the go-to? She says, well, there's also sort of the courtesy factor. If you think, you know, the pressure. And so I went with his name. And Senator Ross, I will tell you this. I've known you for a long time. And Justice Kite and I trust her judgment. I trust her leadership. But we don't always agree. And I am here to commit to you today that if ever I get the chance to give you an oath of office, I will count on you to remember your name. Now, speaking of Justice Kite, this year we will be celebrating the 125th anniversary of statehood. And there may be a tendency to go back in time to look for historical tidbits. But there's been history made in this state and our judiciary over the last 4 years. During that time, Justice Kite served as the Chief Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court. She completed her tenure on June 30th, 2014. She was Wyoming's first Chief Justice, first woman Chief Justice. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you that the state of the Wyoming judiciary is strong. That's true, and it's largely because of her efforts. I'm going to talk about various programs and initiatives. Many were started on her watch. It's been an honor to serve with her on the Supreme Court and be part of history. She's a wonderful person, and the state and our citizens have all benefited greatly from her leadership. Please join me in acknowledging Justice Kite. Senator Bebow was asking me about the job of Chief Justice, and I told him, and he said, it's a pretty exciting, pretty neat job. And Senator Bebow then said, well, it sounds like it's a great job, but the only problem you guys, you have to follow Justice Kite as chief, and I agree with that. But I'm pleased to report that the state of the judiciary is strong, and this morning I want to spend a few minutes explaining why that is so. More specifically, I'm going to spend time talking about the legislature's contribution to that state of affairs. We have much to thank you for. I mentioned that at the breakfast this morning, and Representative Burkhardt on the Appropriations Committee, I told him I was going to take that approach. He says, what are you asking for? Typical. And I said, actually, our requests this year are very modest, and that makes it will give me much more credibility when I explain what I believe the legislature has done that has helped make this judiciary very strong. As you're probably aware, the primary mission of the judicial branch is to provide a forum for fair, impartial, and timely resolution of legal disputes in accordance with the rule of law. In order to fulfill that mission, adequate resources must be committed, and there must be an adequate structure in place. The basic structure for our court systems was established in our Constitution. Over the years, it has been tweaked. The most recent reorganization occurred at the beginning of this century, when circuit courts were established. Senator John Schiffer played a huge role in that endeavor, and like you, we mourn his passing. Most often, the discussion between our two branches relates to funding. Sometimes there has been disagreement. As someone once said, the legislature answers every funding request, but sometimes it's no. But often the answer has been yes. When the judicial branch has made the case, the legislature has provided funding to ensure that the judicial branch remains strong. It funded new judgeships when caseloads became prohibitive. It led the way in the transition to electronic filing. It increased judicial salaries to appropriate levels to ensure a high-quality pool of applicants. It funded the renovation of the Wyoming Supreme Court building on time, on budget. I'm just saying. And I would say this, that we hope that the time actually that we were out of the building went quickly. We are so pleased with the improvements, and we hope that you all have and the renovations that you were contemplating have the same impact on you and you have the same results. So we wish you all the best in that endeavor. 5 years ago, for the first time, Wyoming legislature passed legislation providing funding for civil legal services for the indigent. Throughout, the legislature has been responsive to our requests for adequate staff and resources to fulfill our mission, and the judicial branch of government has endeavored to use those resources wisely and efficiently. In this current session, we will be making supplemental budget requests for funding in two areas. But before I address those requests, I would like to discuss funding for court security. Chief Justice Kite spoke at length about the issue last year in her address to this audience. Her remarks were compelling, and I will not repeat them now. Suffice it to say that it remains a priority. During the last legislative session, Fremont and Sweetwater counties were able to obtain state funding to assist them in the construction of improvements that were necessary to provide adequate security for their state court facilities. I'm pleased to report the construction of a new courthouse is well underway in Riverton. As you recall, a bullet through the metal walls of the building housing the circuit court in Riverton brought home the urgency of court security issues. Since last session, the court has taken additional steps to address court security. We received two grants from the State Justice Institute. The first was a $50,000 grant to conduct court security assessments in Albany, Platte, Goshen, Niobrara, Weston, Crook, Bighorn, and Park counties. The second was a $30,000 grant to provide court security training at three regional sites. Over 160 judges, law enforcement personnel, attorneys and other community members attended. The last assessment was completed in December. In this session, we will be seeking funding for needed court security improvements in line with those assessments. Our first supplemental budget request involves the transition to electronic filing. As most of you are probably aware, the Wyoming Supreme Court has used the electronic filing system, which has provided access to our cases since 2008. Our district courts, however, have been operating on four separate electronic docket management systems, which were incompatible with each other and generally inaccessible except to the courts which employed them. As of March 2014, all of the data held in those systems has been moved into a single system, which is already accessible to the Supreme Court and the district judges. As with all new systems, this one provided challenges which were not anticipated in development. But many issues with the system have been resolved, and the rest are scheduled for resolution soon. We appreciate the assistance and patience of the district clerks of court as we work through these challenges. We also appreciate the indispensable hard work and dedication of our Supreme Court information technology staff. The new system is also already yielding benefits for district judges in their chambers. They can access files electronically and store them on tablets or computers for easy and efficient use in chambers or in hearings in open court. Since the system's inception, an enormous amount of data has been stored in this new system. If it were in paper form, it would already exceed the height of the tallest building in the United States. We plan to add a module which will allow the judges to more efficiently schedule and track their cases within the next couple of months. We also plan to roll out electronic filing in test courts this year. This feature will allow attorneys to file and access documents from their offices. Our citizens can currently access the public docket and scan filings using public terminals in our courthouses. With e-filing in place, that access becomes possible over the Internet. We plan to adapt the district court system to the circuit courts next. To that end, we've asked the legislature to return $400,000, which was previously appropriated, but reverted to the general fund at the end of fiscal year 2014. Those funds will allow us to move data from the existing circuit court systems to a new system, which will also permit electronic docket management, electronic filing, and public access. We appreciate the foresight and wisdom of this body. This body has shown in allocating funds to help our courts achieve greater efficiency and greater transparency in the electronic age. In our second supplemental budget request, we are seeking legislative authorization to spend an additional $100,000 in support of the legislative mandate to provide civil legal services to the indigent of this state. These funds have already been collected. We are just seeking authorization to put them to good use. For those who may not be familiar with this legislation, and because so much has happened in the past few years, a little background is warranted. In 2010, the 60th Legislature enacted Wyoming Statute 5-2-121 and related legislation. As a result of that legislation, an account was created to fund and support a statewide program to provide civil legal services to indigent individuals within the state. The account was to be funded from assessments on court filings in the same fashion as the Court Technology Fund. It is administered by the Supreme Court. Eligibility for legal services funded by the account is limited to individuals with income at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. It is our understanding that there are approximately 67,005 people, or 11.5% of the Wyoming's estimated population, living below the federal poverty level. The number of people living below 200% of the poverty level in Wyoming is estimated at 30% of our population, approximately 174,797 people. In April 2011, the Wyoming Center for Legal Aid was created by the Wyoming Supreme Court as the entity responsible for building the statewide program. Because of potential confusion with the names of other legal services providers, the center recently changed its name to Equal Justice Wyoming. Equal Justice Wyoming is governed by a board of commissioners appointed by the Supreme Court. Time does not permit me to list the names of all board members, but I mention them as a group because their time commitment has been substantial and their leadership remarkable. Throughout, they have stayed true to the legislative vision of a statewide program. I'm not going to mention the names of those individuals, but there is one member of one of those commissioners that's on that board that is present here in this building today, and she's already been recognized, and she's made a wonderful contribution through Climb Wyoming, and she's also, making a wonderful contribution to this access to justice effort. Please recognize Ray Fleming Deneen. Here is what has been accomplished. They have used the grant process to provide direct legal services. There's a legal hotline run by Legal Aid of Wyoming that serves as a single point of entry. The hotline is manned by two lawyers who provide direct and timely legal information. Those lawyer positions are funded by a grant from Equal Justice Wyoming. There are now legal aid offices in Rock Springs and Gillette. The offices are run by Legal Aid of Wyoming, but funding for those two lawyers is provided by Equal Justice of Wyoming, and every attempt has been made to leverage resources. Office spaces were donated by community organizations. In Rock Springs, the office space and overhead is provided by Sweetwater County Family Justice Center.
office space in Gillette is donated by the Council of Community Services. Funds from Equal Justice Wyoming grant have enabled the Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault to maintain 2 full-time attorneys to handle cases throughout the state to assist victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. The grant pays 100% of one attorney's position and a portion, roughly 25%, of a second full-time attorney position. The Coalition currently has cases pending in 15 counties in the state. The Teton County Access to Justice Center was created in 2012 with a grant from Equal Justice Wyoming and has continued to expand its services since that time. It is housed in the Teton County Law Library and provides legal information and self-help services, in addition to providing legal representation through a panel of private contract attorneys. Eligible clients may be referred to a private attorney who are paid at a reduced rate from grant funds. Wyoming's Children's Law Center also received a grant to provide assistance to children and families with legal needs. It fills an important need by providing advocacy to ensure children receive special education services to which they are entitled. Equal Justice Wyoming has also focused on the pro bono aspect of the puzzle. It has partnered with the Wyoming State Bar to breathe new life into efforts to establish an effective and dependable pro bono program. They launched the I'll Do One program last year. Its goal is to encourage Wyoming lawyers and law firms to take on at least one pro bono case. I would encourage you to view the program video. It can be found on the Bar's website and also the Equal Justice Wyoming website. It's professionally done, and it should be noted that the services creating the video were donated. In coordination with the State Bar, they helped launch a pro bono program to provide legal services to our veterans. 60 attorneys from across the state have signed up, and Equal Justice Wyoming has provided training. Again, in cooperation and coordination with the Bar, they have traveled the state conducting training in limited scope representation. The goal is to raise attorney, judicial, and public awareness of that option. When limited scope representation is utilized, an attorney helps a client by providing limited but crucial legal assistance at an affordable cost for a specific aspect of the case. The concept is particularly applicable in the domestic relations environment, where legal forms exist and clients often represent themselves. Equal Justice Wyoming has also made effective use of technology in an effort to serve as many as possible. It has a legal information and self-help website that was launched in 2012. The website had 19,660 visits last year. The majority of client needs in this area involve domestic relations matters. Currently, there's a lack of lawyers who are willing to take on domestic relations cases. Equal Justice Wyoming, in conjunction with the Bar, is trying to change that and also has undertaken significant efforts to enable clients to help themselves. After 2 years of planning, preparation, and programming, and in collaboration with the Supreme Court and the Court's IT department, Equal Justice Wyoming launched an automated interview program that walks the litigant user through a series of questions and answers that are used to create complete and accurate family law forms, similar to TurboTax, that are ready for filing with the court. Currently, the program only applies to divorces without children, but a divorce with children program is on the way. Equal Justice Wyoming obtained a grant from the ABA to set up 5 Skype sites in rural communities to connect with attorneys providing pro bono advice. I could go on, but I won't because of time constraints. There's an old adage relating to perennial plants. The first year you sow, the next year is slow, and the third year they grow. I think it captures perfectly what we are witnessing as a result of your legislation and the efforts of Equal Justice Wyoming, the State Bar and its members, and all in our communities who are working to make the promise of equal justice and access to the courts contained in our Constitution more attainable. We are confident that many of the programs that have been initiated will take root and flourish. More will come online. More of our citizens will be served. And none of it would have been possible if the legislature had not taken that monumental step. I also believe that the legislation has had an additional impact. It has influenced the tone and focus of discussions relating to our system of justice. Our Constitution promises equal justice for all, not just the wealthy or the very poor. Often those sentiments have been tied to the concept of the rule of law that was mentioned at the beginning of my remarks. The rule of law holds that no one is above the law. All are to be treated equally in our courts. Our courts, Atticus Finch told the jury, are the great levelers. And all of that is true. Our courts and judges make very difficult decisions and apply the rule of law every day. It is what makes our system of justice the best in the world. But the rule of law doesn't help much if you can't get into court. It doesn't help if you forego pursuing justice because it takes too long or is too expensive. It doesn't help if cases are settled because of cost and delay rather than being decided on the merits. While our courts have always been concerned with the practical aspects of litigation, it seems now that there's a greater sense of urgency and willingness to take a fresh look at how justice in this state is administered. Historically, the justice system has taken a one-size-fits-all approach to our rules involving litigation. We can no longer continue down that path. Under the leadership of Chief Justice Kite, the Rule 1 initiative explored potential changes to bring our system more in tune with the goal of just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of every action. When the jurisdiction of circuit courts was increased to $50,000 by this body, the Supreme Court, upon recommendation of the Board of Judicial Policy, enacted rule changes for civil actions in circuit courts, limiting discovery and establishing a time frame by which the litigation should be concluded. It should not cost $50,000 to pursue a $50,000 claim. More study is required, but it is our understanding that the rules are proving effective. And if we find them to be effective, hopefully that will provide a great incubator and a stepping stone to improvements in other courts. Domestic relations cases comprise a significant percentage of the district court docket. As mentioned previously, it is an area where more individuals are representing themselves. The primary reason is cost. At the beginning of this year, a pilot project for divorce cases went into effect in three districts. Under the program, parties can opt in. Discovery is limited. Depositions cannot be taken. Experts cannot be used. The parties will receive a trial within 150 days of the opt-in. Trial time will be limited to 4 hours with 2 hours for each side. We are hopeful that the program can relieve some congestion in the courts and result in lower costs for the parties. If it works, it will be expanded. If it fails, we'll go back to the drawing board. In any event, we will continue to explore options to increase efficiency and reduce costs for the parties. We must understand the practical realities of our system of justice and do what we can to eliminate cost and delay. The trick is that all of this has to be accomplished while maintaining the opportunity for a fair and full hearing. Our judges are focusing even more on docket management techniques in an effort to identify methods that will allow cases to be resolved in a time frame that will provide timely justice for the parties. The technological advances discussed previously will make it easier for our judges to manage the dockets. It will become easier to identify the cases that are lagging and move them along. And speaking of our judiciary, there have been some changes. 5 new judges were appointed this year. Judge Catherine Rogers was appointed as a district judge in the 1st Judicial District in Cheyenne to replace Judge Peter Arnold, who retired. Judge Tom Lee was appointed to the Circuit Court to replace Judge Rogers. Judge Matt Castano filled the Circuit Court position resulting from the untimely death of Judge Fred Dollison, who passed away in February of last year. Fred had served the citizens of Crook and Weston counties in the 6th Judicial District as a circuit judge for 11 years. He was a good judge and a better man. He will be missed. Judge Antoinette Healy was sworn in on the last day of the year to take over as circuit judge for retiring Judge Roberta Coates in the 1st Judicial District. Her robing was held Monday, and it was a wonderful affair. Governor Meade attended, and he has attended every robing since he's been in office. And that's 16, 17, we're trying to figure out the exact number. But we simply cannot express to him how much it means to the new judge and the judicial branch that he finds the time to attend. Additionally, he speaks so eloquently regarding our system of merit selection. With his words and actions, he inspires public confidence and trust in our system of justice. Thank you, Governor Meade. Finally, Joe Blumel will be replacing Judge Dennis Sanderson as a district judge in the 3rd Judicial District. He will be sworn in this week. We offer our thanks for a job well done to those judges who are retiring, and offer our congratulations and support to the new members of the judiciary. Before leaving this topic, I should all mention the passing of Judge Vernon Bentley. He was 99. Judge Bentley served with distinction as a district judge in the 2nd Judicial District in Laramie for 25 years. As you are aware, in 2014, Federal District Judge Clarence Brimmer also left us. He, too, was a wonderful judge and a mentor to many, including several who now sit on the bench. He was a remarkable individual, and this ceremony today, which he attended so often, is diminished somewhat because of his absence. We miss him and his smile. All of our new judges are products of our merit selection process. Since becoming chief, I've had the opportunity to witness our judicial nominating commission in action. You would be proud. They understand the magnitude of their responsibility and treat it accordingly. The governor will attest that they make his job of selection very difficult because he must choose from 3 very qualified candidates. For those of you who may be unaware, our merit selection system is now more than 40 years old. Since it has been with us for so long, perhaps we now take it for granted, but that would be a mistake. It is a system that should be appreciated, cherished, and protected. And the legislative leadership that provided our citizens the opportunity to ratify the constitutional amendment establishing this selection method should be applauded. It is fortunate that our merit selection system works so smoothly. Our courts are busy, and all 5 of our new judges confronted very busy dockets when they took office. The judicial workload is excessive in several of our districts. In Laramie County, for example, the 3 district judges are handling the caseload of 4 judges. The 3rd, 5th, and 6th districts also could use additional help. We will continue to monitor the situation, and we'll keep you apprised. Everything we can do to improve public trust and confidence in our system of justice should be done. Our judges promote that trust when they handle cases efficiently, ensure that litigants feel that they have had a fair hearing, and decide cases in a timely manner with a solid explanation of the reasons for their decisions. Our merit selection process also contributes, but that is no longer enough. In this day and age, public trust and confidence in our system of justice must be cultivated. There's no question that the more people understand about our system, the more confidence they have in it. Unfortunately, many of our systems do not have a solid understanding and appreciation of our system. Our judicial branch is committed to an outreach program to close the education gap. We have been involved in the iCivics program since 2012. Last year, we initiated the You Be the Judge program. The first session was held in Laramie County. The students, ranging in age from 10 to 80, were presented with close fact situations and had to apply the rule of law to decide those cases. They had to decide who gets custody, whether evidence should be admitted or rejected, whether someone should receive prison or probation. And they took it very seriously. One student, agonizing over a custody decision, provided this insight. You said this would be fun. You said this would be easy. But it's hard. And how do judges make these decisions every day? We think the students who have attended have a better appreciation of our system of justice, and we intend to take this or similar programs to every judicial district. One is coming to Rock Springs in early February, and it looks like that we'll be going to Sheridan in April. Yesterday, we received 2 calls asking for one in Casper and another wondering when the next Cheyenne session is going to be held. You know, that is going to be a time commitment of our judges, but I noticed that Judge Sharp, Judge Campbell, other members of the Laramie County District Court, the Supreme Court justices are all here today. Every one of them participated in that You Be the Judge program. And Judge Campbell, I believe, was in the middle of a several-week murder trial and still made the time to come. And our judges are committed to these types of education efforts because it means so much to our system. But in terms of outreach, nothing compares to the Judicial Learning Center that you addressed last session. We have made significant progress in obtaining matching funds and are close to reaching our first phase funding goals. As you may be aware, there are serious limitations on the judiciary's ability to obtain donations, but fortunately, the Wyoming Bar has stepped up and taken on the funding aspect of this important project. We believe that the educational dividends generated by this project will benefit our citizens and our state for years to come. One of the best things about becoming Chief Justice is that you get to meet more of our judicial branch employees and learn of the important work that they are doing. Our branch is very lean when it comes to number of employees, but the employees that we have are very dedicated to our mission. The strength in our judicial branch is in large measure a result of their efforts. We also have a dedicated judiciary. We expect a lot from them, but if you attended Judge Healy's roving, or for that matter, any judicial roving, you would know that no one expects more from our judges than they expect from themselves. Before closing, I should also mention some changes here at the Supreme Court. We have a new court librarian, Eugenia Charles Newton. Eugenia will be invaluable in assisting with our court outreach efforts. We also have a new court administrator. Lily Sharp replaces Joanne Odendahl, who will be missed greatly. I saved the Lily part for late in the speech. I think we owe the Legislative Service Office, your body, a few draft choices in the future. But we're excited. We are excited, very excited to have Lily, and believe that she is the perfect person for this position. You all know how confident she is, and you'll be seeing a lot of her as we move through the session. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not mention my colleagues on the Supreme Court bench. It is a pleasure to work with Justices Hill, Kite, Davis, and Fox, and it is an indescribable honor to have been selected by them to serve as Chief Justice. And before my final comment, I also want to touch base one more time on the comments that the Governor has made. You mentioned the military, and we would offer our thanks to all those in the military, but he makes the effort to see them off and welcome them when they return home. And we've seen the impact of that firsthand. Our daughter is a C-130 pilot in the Wyoming Air National Guard, and she is currently deployed. And she's told us how much that means to her. And with regards to the internet and the fact that this is being taped, she asked me to give her a fist bump. In any event, thank you again for the opportunity to visit with you this morning, and we wish you all the best as you go about the important work facing you in this session. Good luck and Godspeed.
Chief Justice Burke, on behalf of the members of the legislature, we all thank you for attending this joint session and for your message to us. Senator Bebout, Representatives Berger and Harshman, will you please escort the First Lady of Wyoming and the Governor from the chamber? Senator Kinsey, Representative Miller, Croker, go ahead. Senator Kinski, Representative Miller, and Croker, would you please escort the Chief Justice from the chambers? Mr. Speaker, thank you to the members of the House, the representatives, for being our host this morning.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I should be amazing.
Senate Majority Floor Leader B. Bow, he's got part of the script. Oh, there you are.
Mr. President, I second that motion.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The motion's carried. Senate Majority Floor Leader Bebout. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
I remember voting no on that, but it's an aye. The Senate is recessed until 2 p.m. Now we go to Rosie. Where's Rosie?
Yeah, where is she?
Rosie, you have some script here.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House will recess until 2 p.m.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The House is recessed till 2 p.m.